How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay them, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King, locked on trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melly.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast, and we thank you again for making us part of your daily routine. We are here Monday through Friday, so you can take us with you to the gym, to work, in the car, wherever it is. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine, even when that involves the Celtics dropping their third straight game, 123-108 to the Wizards in the all-black funeral game, blah, 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 blah. Most overblown thing, because this is the middle of January and this loss, or the Wizards win, only moves them within a game and a half. They're still the fifth seed. It does nothing really to affect the standings, but we'll give them their little thing because they don't get much. So we are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, Sam Packard with me tonight. And let's start, Sam, with this blow up. We'll work our way backwards. Marcus Smart losing his shit on the bench, getting sent back to the locker room at the end of this game when it was already out of question. And Brad Stevens saying after the game he wanted to go back in badly. Quotes. And that's it. But if you see the video, and it's all over Twitter, he's just having a big blow up with all of the assistant coaches right in front of Brad Stevens. And according to Chris Mannix, Stevens is the one that sent them back to the locker room. So pretty much a low point for the Celtics right now.
Yeah, but I can't exactly blame Marcus Smart for that. I mean, the team was playing like crap and he knew it. He wanted to do something about it. He's clearly frustrated because of that. So frustration happens. It would be worse if he kind of took this sitting down and wasn't upset at all. So, I mean, it's a bad visual for the Celtics and obviously not something you want to see after you get blown out by a team who basically tried to show you up before the game. But it's just it's part of what happens with a frustrating loss. It says now we're kind of hearing conflicting reports. The Celtics tweeted out that he wanted to go back in badly, but Jay King, our very own Jay King, said Smart wanted to go back to the locker room badly. So I'm not sure what it was. It was just clearly Marcus Smart just extremely frustrated at the end of the game, as he should be, because basically the Wizards came out and said, we're going to dress in all black. We're going to try and punk you. Do something about it. And the Celtics really couldn't do anything to stop Bradley Beal and John Wall.
Yeah, and I know that we don't have Avery Bradley. That really hurts, and it really hurts the Celtics defensively. They just are in a huge funk defensively. Beyond the troubles that they were having earlier this season, the past few games have been horrid defensively, just putrid. They gave up 123 points to the Wizards. They gave up 58% shooting to a team that was on a back-to-back. And these guys play a ton of minutes. And here they are giving up wide-open shots and a ton of points Again, 123 points. And in the fourth quarter, they let the Wizards score 32 to close out the game on 56% shooting. They just couldn't, they can't rebound. They can't stop anybody. This is just a big, big problem. Is it just a simple fact of Avery Bradley not being there? The Celtics, when they are at full strength, can be really damn good. But when they're not at full strength, it seems like everything falls apart.
I think the biggest issue, and Avery Bradley not being in the game definitely hurts their perimeter defense and just kind of their ability to create turnovers and create stops. But I think their biggest issue is that they don't have a true rim protector. I think we knew this about Al Horford coming in, that that wasn't his specialty. And yes, he's going to get some blocks, but that's not his strong suit. So basically, if there's any sort of guard that can penetrate, they can really just do tremendous damage to the Celtics defense, either getting to the rims themselves or for driving kicks. And just Horford is just – he's been – I think something you noted, he's been a little slow on his rotations as kind of that primary help defender, but he's not that rim protector that they need. So when you have someone like Isaiah Thomas who is – he's giving his all out there, but at the end of the day, he's only, what, 5'6", 5'7". He's going to get, like, blown past. And if you don't have, like, that kind of anchor in your defense, it kind of ruins everything else. So I think the fact that Al Horford is not, like, the rim protector that they need is one of the bigger problems, just because that kind of – it sets them up for failure for the rest of the possessions.
Yeah, there is a piece in the Improper Bostonian. If you haven't seen it, it's online, where Al Horford talks about his routine, his workout regimen, and all of that stuff. And in the piece, Brian Dew, who is the Celtics strength and conditioning coach, talks about how he found a point of emphasis for Horford, and that's his lateral movement. Now, I'm an Al Horford guy, but I think today, in this game especially, I started seeing even the Al Horford people start to turn a slight bit. Like David Wade, a WBZ news anchor, said that he put out a tweet, Al Horford is a great player. He helps the Celtics a lot, but I'm a little bit embarrassed about how excited I was when the Celtics got him. And there are other people who are agreeing with him, kind of get what they're saying a little bit. I think maybe people kind of didn't fully grasp exactly what Al Horford was going to bring to this team and maybe some of the deficiencies and why the Celtics still needed another guy. When we came into the season, we still said the Celtics still need another guy. Al Horford isn't that guy. They still need somebody else. And maybe we let ourselves get a little too caught up in it because everybody gets caught up in the money that he makes, which we've already discussed, but people can't seem to let go that they think at that money he should be able to do everything. His lateral movement is slow. He's not going to be the guy that slides off and cuts off lanes to the rim. He hasn't been able to do that, and I think that's a big problem defensively where guys get beat on the perimeter. In today's NBA, you just can't stay in front of guys on the perimeter like you used to be able to because you can't hand check, you can't do all that. So even Avery Bradley, even Marcus Smart, they get beat. And they're two of the best perimeter defenders in the league. And Horford just has not been able to kind of slide over and cut off the lane to the basket. Either he's not able to physically, or he's not taking the right angles. Or maybe it's a combination of both, because you got to beat a guy to a spot and force him to do something different. And I think Al Horford is a little slow, but I think he could also take a better angle to cut that drive off. And that will allow a secondary rotation behind him to kind of help out on Al Horford's man, and that could be a way to tighten up the defense. But it's not to say I don't. Go ahead.
sorry. I think one of the major issues is that it's something that Horford himself has told us is that he's not a center. So I feel like in the past couple of games, especially in tonight's game and then against the Knicks, when you want Al Horford on the court, but when you force the Celtics to go small and you force Al Horford to play center, that means your defense is going to get that much worse. And then so when there is a drive to the lane and he's the primary help defender, he's going up to help, and then you have no one there to rebound. It really feels like without someone bigger than him playing on the floor, he's less effective. And it's just not it's not the kind of way to get the most value out of Al Horford. He needs to be playing with someone who can be that primary rim protector. So if you force the Celtics to go small and force Al Horford into that position, that's when the defensive struggles seem to be most exacerbated.
Yeah. That's just going to take – I don't know if it takes more practice, more repetition, whatever. That is a problem.
I think
that
it
is
takes
something,
more personnel.
And that too. Because Amir Johnson is supposed to be that guy. He played 4 minutes tonight. And I guess – there are certain games where Amir Johnson is just going to not play, I guess, that this matchup against more athletic bigs just didn't work out for Amir Johnson. But 4 minutes tonight, after being the guy against Portland that kind of helped helped the Celtics stay in that game, to just not be involved tonight, that is kind of curious to me. The Celtics needed something, somebody out there to maybe grab a rebound, maybe contest the shot. But I guess Brad Stevens just didn't think that he could handle that. I don't know. A lot of people.
It makes no sense.
A lot of people slandering Isaiah Thomas on my Twitter feed too about how this is how it goes when he's out there scoring a ton in the fourth quarter, which he just hasn't been able to do lately. Then when he's doing his normal thing, no one says anything. But last year, Isaiah Thomas was out there, and the Celtics were a great defensive team. This year, he's out there, and they're not. It's still the same guy. And in fact, this guy is better than last year's guy because he's been scoring more and playing better. But for some reason, people want to get onto Isaiah Thomas defensively. I just a piece of advice. If you're gonna sit there and bitch about Isaiah Thomas's defense, then delete your Twitter. Just delete it because there's so much more. He's clearly you clearly need this guy. He's worked his way into the MVP conversation. He was borderline All-Star starter this year. Just cut the shit. I just want to get that out there. I think with a lot of the illnesses that have been going around and the injuries, Brad Stevens has been forced into some weird second quarter lineups where he had a stretch where Kelly Olynyk, Jaylen Brown, and James Young were on the floor at the same time. And then Jordan Mickey got involved in that whole thing. So a rookie and two guys who never play got significant minutes in the second quarter, and lo and behold, there was no cohesion whatsoever. And while they were on the floor, it was just a mess of turnovers. And somehow, in the box score, it only goes down. There's only one official turnover in the box score. I don't know how that is possible because I saw three or four myself. So I don't know what's going on with that, but Brad Stevens is trotting out some weird second quarter lineups. I don't know what's going on, why he's doing that, if it's a function of the injuries or whatever, but something's got to change there. I just don't like the experimentation, and hopefully I can look back on this moment in May and say, you know what, John, you were full of shit, you were wrong, because that was necessary for this. But right now I am lost when it comes to that.
Yeah, he's in a tough position if you're going to make the decision, well, Amir Johnson's done after 4 minutes, so you're down a starter, you're also down Avery Bradley. Someone else has to play unless you want to run your, like, Crowder, Horford, Thomas, and Smart, like, close to 40 minutes a game. So I somewhat understand it, but I also think it's just a problem of – it's again of the – I'm like, hate to harp on it, but just like when they have to go small, there has to be some other player on the wing to get positions. If you bump Jay Crowder to the four like we saw tonight to start the second half, he's going to get tired. You're going to run through your wings quicker, so you're going to need to have someone else come in. So that kind of explains James Young's appearance on the court. I have no answers for Jordan Mickey. I know Chris Sedenka said last night that he's a big Jordan Mickey fan, but I haven't really seen anything productive from him this season. I know we all get caught up in kind of the hype machine and the blocks, but he had 6 minutes tonight. It really makes no sense why Amir Johnson couldn't get those minutes unless his ankles are fully exploded. What does Jordan Mickey do well except for the occasional block shot? Because he had some really ugly possessions on offense, not ready to catch the ball. When he did get the ball in the paint, just kind of forcing the shot up too quickly. I'm confused by his general presence on this basketball team. And I know this is what I was thinking while he was playing, is like, this is a one-year problem. Because really you have the Dancing Bear and Zizic hopefully coming to the team next year. So this is not something you really have to worry about, is Jordan Mickey getting serious minutes or his not developing as fast as you want him to. But this year, in this game, when you're getting punked by the Washington Wizards, does not feel good to watch Jordan Mickey kind of flounder out there.
Yeah. Look, Chris said it last night, and I thought it was a great show. If you haven't listened to our D-League show, it's the previous show to this one. Download that. Kind of evergreen. You can listen to it on the off day this week or the weekend. But we talked a little bit about the D-League, and Jordan Mickey came up. And basically what he said of Jordan Mickey, used the baseball comparison, that he's kind of like that quadruple A player, that guy that just kills it at triple A, the level right below the big show, and then he gets up to the major leagues and he sucks for a little bit. So that's where Jordan Mickey kind of is right now. Really good in the D-League. His numbers are pretty good. But it's like something like 16-8 or something like that in the D-League, which is pretty good. But at the NBA level, the competition obviously much different. And he still needs to kind of grow into that role. And that's a lot tougher for him. So, yeah. But I'm just assuming that against the Wizards, when you've got Markieff Morris and Gortat, bigger, more athletic type of guys that just move too fast for Amir Johnson at this point, that you needed another option. And as Zeller was technically available, but he's missed 10 games with the worst sinus infection ever in humanity. So he was available, but probably not really ready to play. So he went with Mickey. And he only went with Mickey for 6 minutes. So it's not like he got a lot more burn than Amir Johnson. He tried it with Olynyk, and Olynyk did okay. He did some good things, but, Olynyk can't hang with some of those guys either. So just tough choices for Boston right now. And let's just transition into this since we're here. Because as people are wont to do in situations like this, just like they were in December, November, the Celtics come out and they've sucked for three straight games. There's no doubt about it. They've largely, over the course of three NBA games, they've largely been pretty bad. And it's forced people to kind of reconsider their thoughts on the Celtics. Like, no matter what happens, you have two bad quarters and people are reconsidering their thoughts on the Celtics. But they haven't been great. And now the thought is, well, was Isaiah Thomas just on such an ungodly run that he was masking some of these problems? And if he was, what does Danny Ainge do about this? You know, we got questions with people on the Rain and Jays hashtag. A man has no name. I'm like Mike 723. Celtics need to trade. Boston attracting no free agents this summer playing like this. So that's just indicative of some of the thought process out there. People are saying they need to make a move. They need to make a trade. They need to do something to kind of fix this problem.
Maybe if you can go out and get Andrew Bogut or some other, maybe Nurkic. You don't really want to commit to anyone past this season, because then there's really no way to be able to sign a max player in the next offseason. So if there's somewhere you can get a one-year rental, sure, fine. I think it'd be fine to go out and get it, but there's really no use in getting someone like you have to commit long-term to and kind of alter your future plans. I think that, yes, Isaiah Thomas going crazy was definitely a reason for them playing well. People need to just chill out and realize that, like, every single basketball team, everyone talks about how in-game basketball is a game of runs. Well, this is a game of runs, too. The Raptors have lost their last four. The Cavs are not playing well. These things happen to basketball teams, and definitely getting Avery Bradley back is going to help. But they're in a bit of a rut right now, so they're going to have to try to fight their way out of it. But I really don't think these three games have an impact on their ability to attract free agents or anything like that. I think that's going a little bit too far. The road's tough. I mean, they have to play the Rockets tomorrow night, which is not going to be the easiest task of stopping James Harden and the Rockets. But you know what? It's just sometimes you go through bad stretches. I mean, when the Celtics were winning, they were making upwards of 15 threes a game. Tonight they were only shot 30% and were 10 for 33. It feels like some of those shots go in, you have a different story. It felt like tonight, every single time the Celtics were about to make a run, they couldn't string two or three plays together. So maybe making some more threes adds to that. It's definitely problematic that they couldn't get consecutive stops on the defensive end, but I kind of have faith in the team to eventually be able to figure it out and realize that this is the down stretch for them. But you know, they're not a terrible basketball team. They still have won the majority of their games this year.
Yeah. Again, they're still a game and a half out of the second seed, 4.5 games behind Cleveland for the top seed. So still not that far away from kind of, I mean, what, turn, I don't want to say turning around, but like they're right there. They're in that top three seed mix. Atlanta is a half game behind. Washington, for all of their, you know, all black everything, they're still a game and a half behind Boston in the fifth seed. They're the hottest team in the East, no doubt about that. But still, you know, the Celtics are going to be okay. Hopefully they can just keep things together and get Avery Bradley back and have him just be healthy. Just everybody stay healthy. Get rid of this goddamn flu. Get rid of these goddamn injuries and just stay healthy for a little bit. And we get to see a little bit more of their true nature. And we know the margin for error with Boston is almost nothing. At full strength, they're good. At not full strength, they can really, really struggle. So a lot of people asking about trades. I don't think Danny Ainge makes a trade this season unless that's a trade that helps Boston over the next 3, 4, 5 years. And Jay and I talked about it when people keep bringing up Tyson Chandler or somebody else. You mentioned Bogut. Bogut's a different story because he's an expiring contract. If somehow they want to work something out with Dallas, you want to throw him a second round pick, something like that for Bogut, and you want to try to do something that way and just swap him and Amir Johnson somehow. Sure, I guess, sure. If it doesn't impact the overall plan, whatever, that's fine. But we have to get ourselves out of this moment, this short-term moment. And by that, I even mean this entire season. That we got to get ourselves out of this, got to win as much as we can this season and do everything we can to win as much as we can this season, because unless you're making a deal that puts you in a league with Cleveland, then you don't do that deal with the like a Bogut type exception. You don't do that deal to jeopardize your future flexibility because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If the Celtics just get crushed on the boards every game from now on and they lose in the second round of the playoffs, fine. It doesn't matter. That's not the goal. This team is not a finished product. They've got cap space. They've got draft picks. They've got a couple of different ways to go to build that future champion. This was never going to be a championship year. So as much as LeBron is crying for his backup point guard and a effing playmaker, the Celtics are still not going to reach that level unless something catastrophic happens to LeBron. So, and maybe it will, but even then, that's not the plan. That's not the plan. So I'm not into blowing cap space this year for a short-term fix. You know, you don't put a Band-Aid over a broken bone. So that's just my take on that. People just got to relax. Like you said, Sam, this is a bad stretch, and everybody goes through bad stretches. And the Celtics had a bad stretch earlier in the season. They recovered. They were at a point where they're almost at the two seed. They took a little bit of a step back, and now they're still a game and a half out of the two seed. Because Toronto is going through the same bad stretch, a worse stretch than the Celtics are. No one's going crazy in Toronto. Well, I don't know. I haven't paid close attention. I shouldn't say that. People might be going crazy in Toronto. They're in a little more desperate situation. They're a little more win now. So I just don't want to get caught up too much in the frustration of this losing streak. And yeah, I'm going to be witnessing a couple of these. I'm going to be paying a lot of money to witness two ends of this losing streak if we're not careful here. But I got to be careful not to get caught up in that frustration. I'll borrow from my favorite guy, Sam Hinkie's era. Trust the process. This is our trust the process moment.
Process over results. I mean, that's what kind of Brad Stevens preaches. There's one thing about the trade scenarios. I completely agree that you don't want to kind of mortgage the future for any kind of like move this year. But I don't think that bars you from bringing in or like giving up some sort of assets, whether that be second round picks or possibly, I wouldn't actually give up a first round pick, but just something to try and bring in another player, just because I think you owe it to, I guess, the team this season to try and go for it as much as possible without mortgaging the future. So if you can bring in expiring contract that makes the team better and all it takes is a second round pick or someone like Jordan Mickey or not Terry Rozier, but someone like those lower tier players, I feel like it's a why not type of thing, because you never know what's going to happen. It's kind of the best of both worlds scenario. You make the team a little bit better, but you don't mortgage the future. But I agree. They're in a low point right now. The Celtics seem to be kind of depressed and frustrated, as they should be. We'd want them to react that way. But you know what? They got the Houston Rockets tomorrow, and they got to figure out a way to stop James Harden. And I wouldn't be – basketball is a wacky game. You wouldn't be surprised if the Celtics come out tomorrow and hit 18 threes and there's another like 120 game. The Celtics are still a very capable basketball team. You saw it tonight with like a couple bounces going their way. They could have been right back in that game. They kept it close or relatively close the entire night. They just weren't able to put together the run. But you know what? The ball bounces the other day. A leprechaun has his way, and like things can happen. So it's not a reason to definitely be a little bit frustrated, but I don't think it's reason to panic.
Yeah, frustration abounds, and even Jay Crowder said after the game, Brad Stevens' post-game message, he said everyone should be a little frustrated and should have a fire in them. So we're going to expand that out to the fans and those of us observers and media who cover the game. We're all a little bit frustrated, and so that's just where we are, that the Celtics currently in this stretch are a frustrating team. They just can't get the defensive stops, and it's just very frustrating because last year they could, and this year they can't. And there's so many of the same players, and we just can't figure out exactly why. So there's that. There is the frustration of not rebounding consistently, or at least putting in the effort. And that's another thing that we keep talking about. I am so sick of them not boxing out, just turning and looking at shots going up, and then somebody like Markieff Morris swooping in for a putback dunk. I'm tired of that. That is an effort play. It is very frustrating. Just get your ass on somebody's leg and just keep him from jumping and getting a rebound. Even if everybody boxes out and it hits the floor and someone else gets it, that's at least some effort, and it's a step in the right direction. But right now, that's just frustration because we're recording right after the show. You're right. Houston's next. We're on to Houston, to quote Bill Belichick and Dan Greenberg on Twitter, who's always putting that out there. Yeah. Frustrating loss. Final words, Sam Packard, before we wrap this up?
No, just saw some quotes coming out about Marcus Smart kind of owning it right now, his frustration, talking about how the team hasn't been tough this year and that that's something they need to turn around. He hates losing, and that's a big reason part of his frustration. So I don't really expect anything to come of his little blow up because they're going to need him tomorrow night against against James Harden.
Yeah. You know, that's if he shows genuine remorse, maybe they'll fine him or something like that. But man, they better not suspend him. But I don't know. Maybe they will and teach him a lesson. I don't know exactly what that rises up to, but I think this team has shown that they can have emotional responses and sit down and talk to Brad and at least work things through. So we'll see how that goes. Just a couple of mentions on Twitter for people who are tweeting us with the hashtag RainandJays at old_granddad. Thanks, Joe. It's like everyone forget that the Celtics suck without Avery Bradley, one of the most underrated players in the NBA. And the question, are we the fourth seed? They may slip down there, but yes, a shout out to you, Avery Bradley, as we mentioned, very, very important. And any kind of injury to one of these key guys kind of pulls things out of whack, and to have that full starting five snaps things into place. At Nicola Bogani, Celtics Nation Italia, if that's the way the Celtics take a challenge, we are in trouble. That's part of the frustration that the Wizards went out of their way to just do this all black thing, and both Jay Crowder and Isaiah Thomas really laughed it off. And if that wasn't an opportunity to come out and send a message right away, then there is no opportunity to do that. And they came out and just were not great. And that goes along with that. Rifesy, what an embarrassing effort to end this game, just all around, just kind of embarrassing in so many ways. So thanks, guys, for using the hashtag RainandJays. Do that throughout the game. We'll try to work those into the show. Send us questions. We'll try to make those part of the show. The next show will be our post-game Rockets show, and hopefully it'll be much less frustrating and maybe a more positive result, and we can start extolling the virtues of a promising Celtics team instead of trying to figure out how to fix a frustrating Celtics team. If you are not a subscriber, if this is your first time with the show, just search for Locked On Celtics or whatever it is that you, however you got here, search for us, subscribe to us, get us on your phone on a daily basis. We are here Monday through Friday. We post it late at night. So if you're in the West Coast, you got something to go to sleep to, or if you're an international listener, maybe it's in the middle of your day or the beginning of your day, or if you're on the East Coast, you'll wake up to it. It's there. It's there for everybody at a great time. We're posting it every night to get you Monday through Friday. Rate us 5 stars, please. I know everybody begs you, and we beg you. Your Uber driver begs you. We're just like everybody else, but it really helps us. So that's the show. Celtics, tough loss to the Wizards, 123-108. We'll catch you after the Rockets game. We are the Locked On Celtics Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, J. King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics.